Coming up, we're going to discuss the latest Disney news from the past week. That's coming up on Traveling with the Mouse. So, welcome everybody to this news episode for February 7th, 2018. I am Adam Brown, and I am joined by John Martin.
John, oh, yes. Did you say nude episode?
No. Well,
okay.
I mean, you didn't get the memo?
No, I didn't get the memo. It sure did sound like you said that, though.
Well, since it's the...
an audio show, it could be.
I mean, maybe I do the show in the nude.
Yeah, we don't need to know that.
No, I don't. Just for your reference. Hopefully you're staying healthy.
Yeah.
And out of the sickness that's going around with the flu and all that. My voice is a little raspy, but I feel okay other than that. So bear with me.
But you're okay?
Yes.
I didn't even notice.
Oh, good. Well.
You're a professional.
I try to keep it that way.
Act like it, man.
So let's jump into some of the news. Recently, a few days ago, the Super Bowl happened. And that was fun, right?
What does that have to do with Disney news? I think that's what we're looking for.
Oh, well, during said Super Bowl, there was a commercial for a certain Disney movie coming up that we haven't seen a single frame from until now, and it's being released in May, like three, four months from now. So, interesting that it's taken so long to get a trailer, but we're talking about Solo, a Star Wars story, the Han Solo film. We got the first trailer for it during the Super Bowl, and then the day after, a lengthier trailer was released. So, what did you think about it?
See, I'm starting to think this is maybe a new strategy that Disney is trying as far as the Star Wars movies goes, especially the, as I'm like to call them, gappers now.
Yeah.
You know, the ones in between the canon.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, some would argue that even though box office-wise it didn't draw as many initially, that the actual script and story of Rogue One was, I would say, even better than The Force Awakens. But, I mean, that could be just stretching it a little. But I thought it might have even been better than Force Awakens.
Yeah, I thought it took the opening crawl of the New Hope or, you know, the first original Star Wars, and actually made an original movie out of it versus basically remaking A New Hope in a new way with Force Awakens, which Force Awakens is still good, but this one was, it's a different animal, and I like, I really liked Rogue One.
Well, I mean, I know I kind of went off on Rogue One when we were talking about Solo, but I get, my point I was trying to get to was that, you know, I think they didn't hype Rogue One up as much as, and they we didn't really get to see in those trailers, it didn't really give away, I guess, the story, which was a good thing when it was all said and done. But with this one, it gives you just enough that you, I mean, of course it reveals who's Han Solo and who's Lando Calrissian,
Donald Glover,
and
the multi-talented, I'm more excited about that than I am the Han Solo actor, which I don't have his name in front of me, but
yeah, but I mean, we got glimpses of who's going to be playing the characters, and you know, a little bit of the of how of the little bit of the action, I guess, side of the film.
Woody Harrelson,
and it really is just enough to whet your appetite, and I think it's probably going to help boost the box office numbers for Solo when compared to Rogue One. Does that make sense?
It does.
Even though Rogue One is a good film, I think it could have done better at the box office had it been marketed maybe a little differently, and I think they learned their lesson in trying to do it, like, say, for instance, putting a teaser trailer out so close to the actual release of the film and doing it during the Super Bowl at that.
Right.
So,
plus, I think they were letting the everything around The Last Jedi kind of die down a little bit, which it kind of died off very quickly, actually, but kind of let the hype around that movie fade away a little bit before they just put the spotlight on this, because this is less than 6 months apart, Star Wars movies now, so This is a very quick release. And
yeah.
They probably could have put a teaser out months ago with very minimal footage that wouldn't have really showed us much. I know the teasers for Rogue One, basically the footage from the teaser, like almost none of that is in the final cut of the film. Because remember specifically the TIE fighter coming up as she was like walking out on that platform? Like none of that made the movie. So,
right.
Or the final version of the movie. It was reshot.
I think another thing too is maybe they're thinking they're shifting the release dates, because even though Force Awakens did well in December, you got to remember it had been a long time since there was a new Star Wars film, so it's going to do well no matter when you release it.
Right, yeah.
However, I really feel like they're going to be better off doing a summer release or early summer release as they are with Solo and yeah. also with Episode 9 as well.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be better for them to shift that timetable, and they had to do it starting with the yeah. Gap film.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited about it. I saw some footage in there that I liked. You know, they have the new Millennium Falcon, or the new old Millennium Falcon, the unscuffed up version with
right.
the front end that's different if you look at some of the shots.
Yeah, they say it looks as though they're playing into the whole like lines that Solo has mentioned
right
in the previous films. Like, I made a few special modifications myself, so
right.
I got a feeling they're showing it before the special modifications in some cases.
Yeah,
I think they're probably going to even include the him winning it in a card game from Lando.
I hope they do, because I mean they need to include everything that they said that he yeah. I won it fair and square.
I mean, I think they might even show something about that.
I'm sure. And
that would be kind of cool.
I'm sure Jabba the Hutt's going to show up, too. I mean, this is, we got to find out what he did that he owed Jabba money for. And
yeah. So there's a lot of things yeah. they can answer.
Now, in the first trailer during the Super Bowl, I saw this, you know, these shots on the train. These, like, this kind of train-looking thing or monorail-looking thing. And I couldn't help but think how similar it looked to the Ord Mantell level in the Shadows of the Empire video game that we oh, yeah. enjoyed. And it looked very much like that world from the Shadows of the Empire. It's also in the book, I think, and it's mentioned in Empire Strikes Back. So perhaps they mentioned well, maybe, something about that.
Yeah, maybe he takes a visit to Ord Mantell.
Yeah. Although, I mean, technically that should have been between the first and second movie, so I don't think they'll go that far with it, but it still yeah, but looks it still like existed. The location. Yeah, they might still go there, so it'd be interesting. So, I'm looking forward to it. I don't have too many high expectations, because as we know, this film has been plagued with issues just like the others, and Ron Howard came in at the very end and reshot a bunch of stuff and is now directing and editing the film, so it's changed quite a bit, I'm sure, from what the original version was, so who knows well, what we're going to end up with.
Based on his work in the past, I fairly, yeah. I mean, I trust that Ron sure. knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, actually, but again, I'm trying to keep my expectations low, because anyway, don't want to be disappointed. So let's move on from that. The yes, next one.
Let's move on to something else.
Shifting to the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World, the Tron Light Cycle Coaster.
Sticking with the sci-fi theme.
Yes, has a potential opening date, or most likely opening date, and that will most likely be August of 2021, and construction should begin very soon, as of like today. It says, according to this article. Interesting. What do you think? It's going to take them like 3 years to build a roller coaster.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot to it, though.
Yeah.
This big awning thing, a big show building, and the roller coaster. Yeah, it's going to take 3 years.
And I don't know exactly. They may have to do something to that land.
Yeah, because there's a big pond there.
Yeah, to maybe reinforce
yeah.
Some of that. I got a feeling there's a possibility that that might be
yeah.
something. So.
And the fact that you've probably got to at least close the railroad, maybe even reroute it a little bit, You've got to change the speedway to some degree.
I don't know that you would necessarily have to close the railroad.
Well,
there might come a time, but just looking at it, it may not even be necessary at all.
Well, I feel like
they might be able to work around it.
I feel like they're going to have to close it at least to build maybe a tunnel that it can go through or something. I don't know. It looks like you're going to go through it, so.
I don't know that it's necessarily going to.
Who knows?
I guess they do kind of have to cover it if they want to keep it.
Yeah.
Keep the illusion, I guess.
Right.
Because you notice, you know, if in every way, shape, and form, they try to make sure you can't really see the train in Tomorrowland because that would kind of ruin the illusion.
Yeah.
Of Tomorrowland.
Exactly. The idea is to have it open by the 50th anniversary date of October 1st, 2021. So I think they'll make that. So keeping with the Magic Kingdom, this other kind of rumored report came out this last week, seemingly out of nowhere, about the Main Street Theater could be canceled. The rumor is that it has been at least put on hold, so we don't know, but the main reason they said was, or the main reasoning people speculated was that having a 3,000-seat theater would, whenever that let out, could be a huge problem for crowds in the Main Street area. But, like, well, who says it'll be filled every time to capacity, for one? And why does it have to be 3,000 seats, too? I don't know why it needs to be that big, but...
Well, maybe they're rethinking the idea of having it at all. Is it going to be a draw, I guess?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it depends on maybe the whatever they were going to put in there. I assume it would be, like, Broadway-type productions that they... You know, we'll feature 3 or 4 shows a day or something like that. That's what I would think if it was that big of a theater. I still hope that they open this back street of Main Street, so to speak, because for guest flow, I think that would be so needed and would help so much more to have that open.
I'll say, just from the parties, it definitely looks like they've done enough work back there to open it up, I would think. I mean, during the parties, I know it's dark, so there might be some things that they're purposely hiding with the darkness. But for the most part, it looks like they've redone it to look passable, I guess.
Yeah.
As part of the area, because I can remember a long time ago, back when they had the extra magic hours, but it was called something else. What was it called way back in the day? E-Ride or E-Ticket or something like that. That they first started calling it that. And believe it or not, it actually was a small fee to do that. And you had you actually had to go and get in line to get a band to go on any rides, an actual band.
Hmm.
But during that time frame, when you were coming in for the extra hours event, they would kind of shuffle you to that side while the parade was going on. And it took you through that backlot area, but it literally looked like a backlot area.
Yeah.
They were just finding it. They were just spitting you out over in Tomorrowland, pretty much.
Right.
So.
I seem to remember it, maybe on really crowded days, they would open it up to just get people out of the park a bit faster. I remember it was open for that. But I don't remember seeing it as themed as it is today, because I was surprised, like, the backside of these Main Street buildings were actually somewhat themed. You know, they look a little bit more complete than I thought. I thought they would just look like the back of a building. But they actually have some kind of more facade back there than I thought it would look like. So, I don't think it would take much to open it up full time. I mean,
you know, I know this is just slightly off topic, but when I got to thinking about that area there, though, if I remember correctly, the original, like, E-Ride that they did for there were extra hours cost, like, $15, I think. That was it. But it still costs something, though, which is now extra magic hours. It's just, you know, you have to stay there. Right. But this was, you had to stay there and buy an extra ticket. So.
Interesting. But as we said, now the extra magic hours don't seem to be that huge of a benefit as they once were.
Well, they're pretty much open to most anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you have to be staying on property, but that's what people do now when they go. So.
Yeah, they just all go to that event. Let's talk about this story that I thought was interesting. Just kind of a bizarre happening. The on the same day, I think it was some day last week, two different rides at two different Disney parks had animatronics heads fall off, or heads come off heads during the ride. Exactly. And, of course, guests had pictures and videos on social media immediately. At California Adventure, Under the Sea, the big Ursula animatronic, her head
was a big head.
Basically just sitting, like, off of, but it was just sort of, like, dangling on her chest. So it was kind of strange to see that. And the Pirates of the Caribbean in Disneyland Paris, the pirate in the new auction scene, but the same pirate that's usually running the auction, had his head sitting kind of in his arms as that was going through as well. So just kind of a bizarre coincidence that
it really is. I wonder what would have made Ursula's head fall off. That's kind of
Well, that animatronic moves quite a bit. It's quite mobile, so I guess just maybe they were doing some maintenance on it and they just didn't secure it.
Or needed to.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Or lack of maintenance. I wonder if they traumatized some little kids, did they give them fast passes at the end of the ride or something? It's usually what they do when something happens. They're like, here's a fast pass.
So there's video of the pirate's head falling off too?
There's pictures, at least. I've seen photos. I don't know if there's video, but there's definitely pictures. It was funny because there was one time we were on Pirates, and something had broken down because we loaded on the boat, and we heard the cast members talking to each other, going like, oh, shoot, it happened again. And then they were like, ugh, just send them anyway. And they sent our boat out and then turned everybody else that was in line away. So we were the last boat riding it. So we're like, what's going to happen? Are we going to, like, fall off the waterfall or something? Is something broken down? But we didn't notice anything wrong with the attraction. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. But when we walked off, they were just handing out fast passes to everybody. So they gave us a
fast pass. So you didn't notice a particular effect or anything that was...
No, I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary, but they were saying something was wrong, and then they closed the ride, and everybody left. And we were the last boat that they sent off into the ride. And then once we got off, they gave us fast passes. And they were like, sorry.
Sorry for what? That's the first thing I think of.
What?
Somebody dropping their phone in the water or something.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. this is more side topics, but I was watching a vlogger that I watch sometimes, and he was on Spaceship Earth, and they said they had stopped immediately as soon as they got on the loading platform for like 10 minutes. And finally they asked one of the customers walking by what was going on, and they said someone had jumped out of one of their cars at some point during the ride, and jumped back in, but they still had to stop the ride and evacuate the person because of what they did. So it took quite a while to handle that situation. But it just goes to show you that little things like that still happen. You hear all the time about people jumping off the people mover because people are just dumb. And, you know, if you're not restrained, some idiots are going to do that kind of thing. So, annoying. But anyway, that's a side tangent. So let's talk about the incredible summer that Disney has announced this year. Beloved stories from several Disney films will come to life at Walt Disney World in the form of new attractions, entertainment, experiences, and more at all four parks, setting up summer 2018 to be what Disney is calling incredible summer. What do you think?
I think they... seem like they feel a need now to probably spice the summer up a little bit.
Because attendance has been a little lower.
Right. I mean, people are still going, obviously. It's not like they have to, they're not desperate to make this, but it has been waning in recent years. And I think it's more because there are people that are waiting and wanting to go during events like Mickey's Not So Scary.
Yeah.
in Christmas time.
Exactly.
I don't know that making offerings like this, even though it's just, you know, I don't know if it's really going to deter those people that are wanting to go to those events that I just mentioned. So
yeah, I don't think so either. But here's some of the things that are going on. Incredibles are taking over Tomorrowland, which basically is similar to what they do at the Christmas and Halloween parties, as far as I know. I think they do it at both of them. Dance party in Tomorrowland. So that's basically what's going to happen. You can dance with them, the characters.
You know, I enjoyed the Incredibles movie, but don't you think like their presence is a little bit oversold somewhat here lately?
Yeah, I know. They're getting their own roller coaster and that kind of thing. It's kind of, to me, like Cars. It was a good first movie, and I just don't know how much more you can do with it that's going to make me care. But
look, the kids, they don't care. They've loved 1, 2, 3. They would love all the way up to 20. I mean, they just love the Cars franchise, and they can beat that horse
I guess so.
For some time to come.
Cars 3 didn't do that well in theaters, though. Didn't do great. But
it's already on Netflix.
Yeah. My son got bored halfway through. We went to the theater to see Cars 3, and maybe an hour in, he was like, "Can we go home? We done?
Seriously.
Is this movie over?" Like,
surprising.
Yeah. He was kind of bored.
Anyway. All right.
Guardians of the Galaxy are taking over the stage at Epcot at the American Pavilion, which, okay. They're going to have an alien band with Star-Lord and Gamora. Cool stuff. I don't know. I'm not that excited about this, but what do you think about them being at the American Gardens Theater?
With it being summertime, I mean, you know, it's...
There's no festival, so...
Star-Lord is American.
Yes.
Plays very American music. No.
Right. So apparently part of the backstory is he visited Epcot as a kid for the attraction.
That's for the attraction, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess he's coming
maybe
back.
Maybe this is... Yeah, maybe they're playing into this.
Maybe they will.
I mean, you know, hopefully they have... I mean, if they have a good Gamora, I mean, that'd be something to look at. I mean...
Maybe they'll actually get Zoe Saldana and Chris Pratt to show up.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I would show up for that. For her, not him.
Yeah, I know you would show up for her.
Yes. Well, for both of them, I guess.
But anyway...
Why has she got to be green, though? Like, come on, man.
Hey, that's okay. I mean, the costume was...
So, why can't she be herself? Like, every movie, she's either blue or green or some other color.
Anyway. That's just her thing.
Maybe she likes that.
I got to watch Guardians of the Galaxy while on Volume 2.
Right.
Just recently, by the way. It was really good.
Did you watch it on the cruise, or did you watch it on some other platform?
It was available on Netflix.
Okay. I need to watch them. I still haven't watched them.
You haven't watched either one of them?
Yes, we've gone through this before. I'm a busy man. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't watched either one. I did watch Pirates, though.
Yes, you did.
So
finally.
I actually liked it.
More than you remember.
I actually liked it. Thought it was good.
So, you know, I liked them all, but...
All right, let's keep going. What else? Adventures Meet Up, the new bird show that's taking over from Flights of Wonder. The new Up bird show is coming and opening for the 20th anniversary of Animal Kingdom, as well as Dinotastic Celebration for Donald Duck debuts at Dinoland, which don't really understand what that is.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I hope they don't make it actually. I mean, even though I love Donald, I hope they don't make this worse than it already is.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's still not going to make me ride Primeval World, so I don't care what you do.
I actually like Primeval World to a degree, but
yeah.
I just don't like the whole carnival theme for part of Dinosaur. I mean, it's just stupid. I wish they would have gone more into a actual Primeval World. Duh.
Yeah. That's too close to Jurassic Park, though, right?
I guess.
Can't venture into that. They want you to go see The Incredibles 2 this summer, of course. And then it says Toy Story Land opening. Still no firm date on that yet. But everyone's assuming it's going to be Memorial Day weekend. But who knows? It might be later. Yep. Could be a little later. So
I wonder what, I'll be interested in to see what the full like menu of Woody's Lunchbox is. I mean, I know it's quick service, but it should be interesting to see what kind of creations they would come up with that are Toy Story related.
Well, the fact that it's Woody's Lunchbox makes it maybe if it was Andy's Lunchbox, it would have to be like Lunchables.
It's not even going
to
be real food.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, what does Woody actually eat? But anyway.
They're going to serve plastic food in there.
Right. Well, depending on how old Andy's supposed to be at the time of whatever the Toy Story Land is set in, it's going to be Lunchables, peanut butter jelly sandwiches, that kind of thing. What other things the kids eat?
So, I don't know. I would think they would tie in maybe some of pizza because of Pizza Planet. I don't know.
I know.
They already had a Pizza Planet, though, so...
But remember in the first Toy Story movie how cool the Pizza Planet looked? Why couldn't they have made Pizza Planet like the one in the movie? It's basically an arcade.
It's gone now.
But, yeah, I know. But it didn't look like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. Cool beat. Disney World, from whatever reason, typically does not do great with pizza.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
But they don't typically do great with pizza, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I can't say the last time I've actually eaten pizza at Disney World, to be honest.
Yeah, for me it's probably been at Pizza Planet.
That long ago. Actually, you know what? Yes, we did. We ate pizza together in 2009 at Pizza Planet.
See there? It might have been the last time I had pizza.
That's probably the last time I had it. I don't remember anything about it, so it must not have been that good. But I remember the photograph the picture we took.
Yeah.
What am I, 90? The photograph we took. The oil painting we sat for.
Photograph.
Right. All right, so one other story I thought I would throw in here, too, is that the Jungle Cruise movie with Dwayne The Rock Johnson has a new co-star, and it is Emily Blunt, who is Mary Poppins in the new Mary Poppins film. So the two of them are going to be in this movie about the Jungle Cruise. So maybe it'll be good, maybe not. I don't know, but it's moving along.
Is her middle name Passa?
Okay. No. What are you, 12? All right.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. Isn't she the one that's married to John Krasinski? I think she's... Isn't she the one?
I don't really... I'm not sure. Speaking of The Rock, and you were talking about earlier when we talked about the Han Solo trailer, there was a trailer during the Super Bowl that whenever I was watching it, I thought, this looks sort of like a remake of Die Hard, but it turned out to be something totally different. So,
oh. I don't recollect. I didn't see all the trailers, actually.
Well, he's playing the character that has an artificial leg. I forgot the name of the movie now. It looks pretty good, though, but the whole time I was thinking, this looks an awful lot like Die Hard. I was thinking they were doing a Die Hard remake for a minute there, but I was like, well, no, he had an artificial leg, unless they're making him have an artificial leg. But it really did look a lot like a Die Hard remake, but it turned out not to be, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, side note.
So the last story I have, if you have any more, you can jump in with those, but the last one I wanted to mention was this article that we saw today about new permits revealing the location of the Epcot Future World Hotel, which we don't really know anything more than that, other than, you know, the location is going to be outside the front. But it looks kind of neat. What do you think about this article?
I think it's still in the whole speculation part.
Right.
Saying that it's going to be a hotel, you know?
Yeah.
I do see, let's see, when it shows this, what does it say? It says a nice overview of the current land is in use in this area. Red is buildings, obviously, what are already there. Pink is impervious paved areas.
Yeah.
Light green is pervious or undeveloped areas. And dark green is wetlands. So the biggest dark green areas is, along with the light green area, is over there right behind basically the... Well, on the other side, if you're staying at one of the Disney, I think one of the Epcot resorts as it is, like Beach Club or Yacht Club, mm-hmm. it's pretty much across the street is the area we're talking about. And it's somewhat behind the land. So Yeah, it would be interesting. Yeah.
It will be.
See if they did something over there.
Yeah, and of course, just because they file permits doesn't mean they're actually going to go through with it completely. We never know. Because they actually file permits for this Main Street Theater, but we don't know if that's ever going to happen now. So, but it's cool to think about.
Yeah, I know. They had been talk about the hotel there, and we had talked about it possibly actually extending over the entrance there.
Which it could, looks like.
But they do have it zoned different ways, so that, I don't know, that area could include still, right, there could be a hotel included right there near the front.
Yeah, because we know, I know Disneyland Paris, the Disneyland Hotel there is basically right on top of Main Street. And I can't remember if Shanghai or one of the Asian parks, either Tokyo, Shanghai, or Hong Kong, I can't remember which, or maybe more than one of those, has a hotel on the front like that, too. So it seems to be a trend in the overseas parks. So maybe we're going to get something like that here.
The only thing I don't get is it covers a significant amount of parking, unless they just are going to start limiting and taking away from parking at Epcot.
Yeah.
Do they just feel like they don't need it? I mean,
maybe, yeah. Or they're going to divert the parking over a little bit further to the...
It's possible. I mean, I could see there's an area that looks like there's... I don't even know what it is, but it looks like it could be like they take some parking away and add some, but it looks like they would be still taking away more than they would add.
Yeah.
In theory. But I don't know.
So this has gotten some people speculating that the monorail for Epcot could go away because of the hotel being built right in the front. But I would think they would keep the station.
No, see, I think that just the way that A is designed, I think it would be designed to have the monorail go through the hotel.
Just like the Contemporary?
Yes. Yes, very similar.
That would be neat.
Because the monorail would go, from the looks of that, the monorail would enter one end and still circle around, but then you would get off, like the station would actually be inside the hotel.
Yeah, and you could just walk through the lobby or an atrium to go into the park, or if you were staying there, you could probably just walk straight to your hotel room
from the station. Magic Kingdom area.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of cool.
So.
And it would connect you to the Magic Kingdom via monorail that way, which is also a great thing for this hotel. So,
yes. Think about what that would do, though, how convenient this hotel would be. This would automatically start be the most convenient hotel, transportation-wise.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, because you could connect to Hollywood Studios via the boats or the Skyliner. And... Mm-hmm. Eventually Animal Kingdom if they continue to expand that. So yeah, you would have great transportation.
All they would need is some method to Animal Kingdom. That would be it.
Yeah.
Other than bus, but looks like it would cover the bus station.
Yeah.
From where they've got it.
Well, if the Skyliner expands as a phase two, it would go to Animal Kingdom, I think. I think that's what they want to do.
Have it go across the interstate?
Yeah.
Or not the interstate, but across World Drive.
Yeah, and I think it would connect to Coronado and then connect from Coronado to Animal Kingdom. And maybe even Animal Kingdom Lodge. That would make sense.
That would be interesting given the type of vehicle it is and everything, because if they had one incident...
Yeah, you never
know. ...that involved something happening on World Drive...
Oh, boy.
It would totally screw it up.
Yeah. So that's all I had. Did you have any... news stories you wanted to bring up this week?
Well, I mean, I kind of wanted to mention, we had talked about it, about how they're the wonders of life.
Oh, yes.
We talked
yes.
briefly about it, yeah. The facade is being restored, appears like.
Yeah, there's photos, quite a few photos of some workers on the roof doing some kind of work. It looks like restoring some of the panels or either... replacing some or cleaning them or something. They do look pretty rough, so interesting that they're doing something to it, so maybe they're going to use it for something more than a festival center in the future. Maybe they're prepping it for something. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, could very well be the beginning of something new in general. Obviously, they have, if that's the case, they have at the very least decided the building is worthy of being reused, and, you know, in this case. So maybe they just thought it was kind of a bit of an eyesore and they wanted to do something about it.
Yeah, when you look at these up close pictures of it, they do look pretty bad. The panels look rough, to say the least.
I had noticed some of the area there looking, you know, kind of rough. Even just the like the foliage around it and everything, they kind of let it overgrow a little bit, even though they use it at least once a year. They still kind of let it overgrow a little bit.
It is kind of weird when you walk in there too. You get that sort of odor of staleness in the air, if that makes sense. So it feels like
something. I don't recall that.
Yeah. Well, last time I was in there, that's what I felt like. It just felt like it just hadn't been cleaned well or something in a long time.
Yeah. That, and I know we kind of touched on it, but the Last Jedi sort of underperforming expectations, at least. It's hard to say a film that's made $1 billion is underperforming, but it underperformed expectations compared to Force Awakens.
Yeah, I think Force Awakens was $2 billion, and this one was about 1.2 or 3, something like that, is where it currently sits, which is pretty much done. I mean, I checked to see if I could go see it again coming up, and it is nowhere to be found. So,
The Last Jedi pulled in $1.3 billion worldwide.
Mm-hmm. 610 domestically, which is short of like Jurassic World, I believe, last year or 2 years ago.
So, yeah, it's nowhere near the $2.1 billion that Force Awakens did.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's profitable. Yeah. It's profitable, but I mean, they're saying, should there be an area, a need for concern because of the significant drop compared to the first one? Well, you know, maybe they're thinking they didn't get as many people to go back and see it more than once, for one thing. Maybe they didn't get as many people attracted to it in the first place after what they heard about it, you know?
Right. Yeah, it got slammed by the viewers in the early stages. I'm not sure why still. But, I mean, there's definitely some flaws in the movie, but I think, you know, Empire did not surpass A New Hope in the original trilogy as far as box office goes, so I don't know.
Yeah, the problems are that as a Star Wars film, it's underperforming, I mean, in reality, because they didn't expect it to drop off. They expected the appeal to last longer than it has. Like, it's the box office sales have fallen off sooner than they thought.
When I think about the film, looking back on it, seeing it twice, I need to see it more, but it's definitely a little more controversial than the first one. And I think they didn't play to the fan service. This was not a fan service film. It didn't answer all the questions you wanted to have answered. So I think it might be frustrating for people who just want a fan service film. So,
well, I mean, not only that, apparently there's declining toy sales and it did not do well in China.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, this is why, for the Han Solo movie, this is really the reason why they changed the way the Millennium Falcon looks, so that they can sell more toys. That's the main reason why.
Maybe.
Oh,
I have a point there.
That's part of it, because who wants to continue to buy a Millennium Falcon that looks the same? Whereas I have the original version of them. You know, it looks a little different.
Right.
Sells more toys.
I'm just thinking, maybe it's that the fan base expected to see a little bit more of a continuation of the characters that they knew. I mean, we know we have to transition to a degree, but, you know, maybe they expected a little more out of, like, a last hurrah out of these characters.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that most people were upset about, is the hoorah part was not quite there with a certain original character from this movie. So I can understand the frustration, but anyway, I thought it was a good film, but this is why they're bringing it back to J.J. Abrams directing the episode 9 again, so it'll be another fan service-y film, and it'll come back, I'm sure.
So let's see, with all the comparisons and similarities from In Force Awakens to particularly A New Hope, with this being the third film, I guess we're going to start seeing Jedi. The similarities to Jedi.
Perhaps. There's a few...
It's going to be really funny if I'm right by that, by the way.
It is, yeah. I mean, there's a few things in this one that are similar to Empire, but not much. Not much.
Okay.
Not what you would expect. I was expecting way more than what we got, but anyway. So, is that going to wrap it up for this episode?
You tell me, boss.
I think it does. So you can email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com, and visit us on the World Wide Web, travelingwiththemouse.com, and you can visit us on our Spreadshirt store, shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM, and we have a sale going on. Well, we don't. Spreadshirt does. Started February 6th, and it runs through the 11th. It is free shipping on all orders. The code is SHIP, S-H-I-P, 1-8. So get your free shipping for the next 5 days. So do that. And Patreon, patreon.com/TWTM podcast. And visit us there. Support the show if you like the show. And you'll get some extra content in return. And, of course, we also have social media.
On Facebook at TWTM Podcast, on Twitter at TWTM Podcast, and now on Instagram at TWTM Podcast.
So for John Martin, I'm Adam Brown, and we'll see you on our next trip.